ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
Socially, he does very well at school. Academically, not so much. So that's the struggle. And the issue that we have with him is that, according to him, he's going to become a world-famous drummer. So he doesn't need to study or to perform well at school because it's irrelevant.
When you say to him, you need to be studying, you know, we're worried about your future, and what does he say back to you?
You won't be saying that when I'm playing Wembley Stadium.
Graduating from high school is a huge milestone. But getting there, well, it can mean years of struggle and stress. For some teens, they just can't seem to get motivated or organised. For others, senior school is a time of anxiety and pressure to perform. Hi, I'm Bec Sparrow, and in this Parental As Anything Teens, how to guide our teens through the final years of high school without losing it or turning into a nagging monster. Sam, which is what we're calling all our parents, is in a daily battle to get her son, who is in year 11, to school.
There was a lot of school refusal last year. He failed pretty much everything. If he's interested, then you get the engagement. If he's not interested, he's not interested. He doesn't want to become a tradie. He doesn't want to become anything. He's going to be a drummer. He's absolutely determined that that's what he's going to be. And there is no plan B required, thank you, though.
Thanks for your input, Mum. Yep. Not needed.
Exactly. He is very good. It's not a pipe dream. But you have to be able to live. You have to be able to afford to pay rent or buy a house or pay for your food. But there's no plan. It's just someone's going to pick him up. They're going to see how good he is.
You've got to love their confidence.
I think my main fear for him is that he's just going to end up being really disappointed and jaded and just end up as a sort of sad 40-year-old could have been, should have been muso.
So what can you do if your teen doesn't see the point of high school, or if they just don't seem to be able to get motivated or organised? And if you have a teen feeling the pressure, how can you help them manage their stress? Claire Eaton is a youth coach and author and has helped thousands of teens and their families get the most out of high school. We'll get to teens who are feeling really anxious about school soon, but Claire, with Sam's son, he just loves drumming and he just can't engage with high school. So what do you do when you've got a teenager who's saying, I don't see the point of school?
Of which there are thousands of teenagers that do not see the point of school. And that's really hard to turn up to a place every day and not see the value in what it is that you need to learn.
Yeah, I mean, many teens struggle to spend most of their week at a place they think is pointless, you know, apart from hanging out with their mates at lunch. They really need to have a sense of purpose.
If that's not really clear to a young person, they become disengaged very, very quickly because they can't see the value. What's in it for me? Remember that teenagers are so egocentric. Me, me, me. So if they can't see and they can't feel the purpose every single day when they're at school, they're not getting that dopamine hit that they really, really crave, which gives them that push and that sense of, I'm just going to do this thing.
I know I'm going to sound like a broken record, but just like the rest of us, teens need purpose.
If we're not getting that really strong dopamine hit, they become quite lethargic and a bit meh about turning up and doing the thing they need to do. I'm just going to throw this out there, but sometimes we just need to be on their side and say, I get it. I get this doesn't float your boat. So many things in life don't and won't. So right now, we got to do some really juicy character building stuff. We got to jump through some hoops here, buddy. We've just got to get everything done, and I'm here to help you.
I love that answer, Claire. Obviously, I'm a big believer in education, but I also think that school doesn't work for a lot of kids, that it is really difficult. This boy may well go on to be a famous drummer and not need to have memorised a million different maths formulas.
Equations.
Exactly.
Yes.
So Sam's son is struggling to get motivated to go to school and complete his schoolwork. Sam's thought about giving up on the nagging, but then she worries it would make it worse for her son.
Because he's not interested and doesn't care, he'll just go, fine, well, I won't go to school today. It became very clear to me early on in his high school career that he was not going to get an ATAR to get him into university. There's just no way he will. So he's doing a Certificate 4 in music at TAFE as part of his Year 11 and 12 curriculum. And what that will give him is a pathway into university to study music. The thing with that, though, is that once he gets to uni, he is still going to need the skills of studying and writing and essays and all of that sort of stuff to be able to complete that degree. And if he's not practicing that now and if he's not doing it in year 11 and 12, then he's really going to struggle once he gets to university.
So, Claire, it's really hard for teens to get motivated sometimes, especially if you're asking them to choose to study instead of something that they might really rather be doing, which sometimes can literally be anything else, right?
Gee, motivation is so dodgy for high school students. It's hard enough for adults, but they rely on motivation. And, you know, I don't know how to say this any more softly, is that it's really sketchy and it doesn't hold up for them. It doesn't show up when they need it. The time when it does show up is when they're doing something they love. So referring to my son, his motivation for playing cricket and getting ready for cricket was sky high. His motivation for studying for human biology was the extreme opposite. So, you know, we need
it's
to
so
just highlight that. Yeah, that's right. Exactly.
It's so easy to be motivated when it's something that we love.
Yeah, we love it. It's easy. It comes natural. But the reality of school is that for many children, it's really hard for them to see the value in it, the purpose.
So what can we do then in terms of getting teens to kind of reframe motivation?
Tiny little strategy that I teach them is rather than wait for motivation, tap into your why, the purpose and the reason that you're doing this. Now, I often get an eye roll because they think I want them to go deeper into the human biology. Absolutely not. You might be learning this so that you can get to cricket. You might be learning this so that you can get your parents off your back. You might be finishing this assignment so that you can not let your group down. That's your why. And that becomes the motivation that gives you that little spring in your step to keep going. So sometimes our why needs to be separate from the content or the thing that we're doing.
Sam's son is not only unmotivated at school, he's also really distracted by his devices and connecting to his long-distance girlfriend.
They are never unplugged from each other. They're on FaceTime all the time. Like if he's at home and he's in his room playing video games with his mates and he's got his earphones on and he's talking to them in front of his screen, his phone is propped up on FaceTime with her, just sitting in her room reading or doing whatever she's doing. He goes to bed with his laptop on his bed next to his pillow and she's also in bed on the screen. They are literally never not in contact, which I think is hugely unhealthy.
So look, high school is a time when many teens get their first boyfriend or girlfriend, and we know they can get pretty wrapped up in each other. In this case, Sam said she's worried about how unhealthy it is for them to be spending so much time connected. Adding to that are the devices, and we know they're really hard to put down. And a lot of teens seem plugged into them all the time, partner or not. So Claire, the million-dollar question, how do we deal with teens and phones and study?
If we just take the emotion out and we see it as another distraction, you know, often say to kids, set a timer. So at 4 o'clock, that's when you pop into your desk space and you do your bit of study. That's also your cue that your phone goes on airplane mode, or you put it in the kitchen to charge, or you give it to someone. The teenage brain is so tempted, even though they've got their best intentions, you know, at play here. Many of them will say, but if I'm working to a clock, my clock's on my phone. But you know what? There are plenty of places you can just grab a little clock.
And I guess the other thing about phones is that teens think they can multitask, don't they?
Gorgeous, beautiful teenagers believe that they can interact with their phone and be an incredibly attentive learner. It's actually not the case. They can't. The brain can't successfully do two things at once, especially a young brain. So they say, no, no, it's all good. I can answer that message and I can do this math question. They can't. The brain is actually jumping between tasks and it's trying to zone into the phone, get involved in the context, answer the question, and then jump back to the assignment. They could be wasting 9 or 10 minutes doing that transition, which they believe is multitasking, but it's actually sabotaging their learning.
Sam's son was diagnosed with ADHD when he was 12. Now, this neurodivergence affects his ability to focus, pay attention, get organised, and finish schoolwork.
Assignment work is really, really difficult for him. We are now getting emails saying he didn't submit this assignment. He's got 24 hours, otherwise he's going to get a zero. And then there's just this mad kind of panic scramble all-nighter, you know, to get the assignment done. So it's really stressful, not just for him, but for everyone in the house. The strategy at the moment is that I organise his life for him. It can literally take half an hour in the morning to get him to put his school shoes on. His ability to manage his own time, it's non-existent essentially, and unless it's being managed for him, it doesn't get done. So that's quite a demand on us as parents. It's, have you had a shower? Have you put deodorant on? Go and brush your teeth. Where are your shoes? Have you packed your lunch? I don't know how he would complete a uni degree, to be honest. And that's one of my big worries, is that if he does get into a university course, how are you going to complete that?
So Claire, all teens tend to struggle with things like organisation and time management. But for kids diagnosed with ADHD, it's even tougher. I mean, things like meeting assignment deadlines and studying effectively can feel overwhelming for them. So I guess what we're saying is that ADHD can add an extra layer of stress and difficulty onto year 11 and 12. So what time management and organisational strategies do you have that parents and teens can put into place?
Our children start high school and there's this expectation or assumption that they have the ability to manage their time. And, you know, we can be standing at the kitchen bench with our, you know, 16-year-old son or daughter, and they're our height, if not taller, and they look like a young adult, but there's a very juvenile, underdeveloped brain that's guiding their conversations. And come Sunday, they freak out because they haven't set up for the week ahead. And then we have Monday morning, you know, meltdowns and overwhelm, and we put it into this big basket of school.
And Claire, talking about getting organised, when we think about preparing for year 12, we often think that that's something that happens in year 11, but this preparation can and should happen much earlier, right?
I think it's really a six-year journey, and every year is setting the scene for the next year. Rather than seeing it as an extreme separation of almost year 7 to year 10, and then, whoa, this massive wave of year 11 and 12. So I think if we see it as a really big journey, a bit of a trek, it's much more easy to handle and think about.
For Sam, the struggle to support her son and help him get organised is proving to be really tricky.
He does not do any study at home. So he has free study periods at school. What he tells us is that he gets his work done during those study periods.
But then, of course, Sam will inevitably get an email from the school asking about overdue assignments.
And I'll say to him, I asked you specifically 2 days ago, do you have any work? And you've told me that you don't. I could get a list of all his assignments due and I could make sure they're all done and tick them off and mark them on the calendar, but it's exhausting. And I also have three other children and a full-time job and a house to run. The tank is empty and I just can't do everything.
Like so many parents, Sam is struggling to know how much to help her son and how much she should be leaving him to take responsibility for his own study. And I mean, parents are already so busy, right? But Claire, from what you've been saying, parents really do need a strategy because most teens, even though they can seem like mini adults, just aren't capable of organising themselves in that way yet. What ideas do you have for parents in helping with this time management and organisation?
There's a little strategy that I talk about called the Sunday setup, and I say little with tongue in cheek because it is huge with massive potential to change the balance of harmony in homes. Very, very simply, it's setting aside about 30 to 40 minutes on a Sunday with lots of parent engagement. It may feel like an absolute drag. My son complained about Sunday setup from year 7 to year 12. Every single Sunday, where there was the eye roll, there was the grunt, but boy, oh boy, did it get him through, absolutely.
And we heard from Sam that her son was really struggling, particularly with getting assignments done in time. So can the Sunday setup help with that too?
We're almost working in reverse. So we look at everything we need to do. We're putting it in priority order, which is another high executive function skill. We are identifying the dates that they need to be done by, and we're also writing in exactly what that content involves. And we really identify specifically what we need to do. I allocate an amount of time to each of those tasks. So we might go back and write math questions 1 to 7, 35 minutes. Finish English assignment, 40 minutes.
I really love this idea and I can see how being organised for the week makes our lives less stressful, even as adults. But I also know a lot of parents are going to be thinking, what? I don't have time for this.
This takes so much work. So the parents that are prepared with all the eye rolls to sit down and do this with their kids, remember their brain can't do it all by themselves. There'll be some that can, absolutely. There'll be some parents that are listening and thinking, I would never have to do this. But for many parents, that's not the case and they need to sit on a Sunday and really work out a plan. And the older we get for year 11 and 12, we're working out a plan that might extend for 2, 3, and 4 weeks.
Now, for some teenagers, their approach to year 11 and 12 is to put so much pressure on themselves to nail every subject and to get a super high score that they're just so stressed out, which of course isn't actually ideal for learning. So what tips do you have for parents who might be supporting an anxious or perfectionist high schooler?
A tiny little strategy that I talk about is called stop, drop and sort. Just helps teenagers to recognise, whoa, I don't feel great right now. Something's changing within me. My heartbeat's going a bit wacky. I feel a bit hot. I feel a bit sick. I feel a bit overwhelmed. Now, that's our body giving us signs that something needs to change here. And that's when we can just press this invisible stop button and just drop everything that's around you. Separate yourself just for a few minutes from the thing that you're doing. Shake it off. Play with your dog. You know, go make a milkshake. Jump on the trampoline. Lie on your bed. Have a shower. And then come back and reset.
That's excellent.
We are not designed as humans to spend all of year 11 and all of year 12 sitting at a desk studying. It's not going to set us up for the real world.
Now, Claire, many teens, whether they are engaged with school or not, have this real sense that their life's success or failure is based on their score at the end of year 12. What do you say to them?
Perspective is huge in year 12. And I think it's wonderful that our children have this desire to do well and do their best. But when that tops over and it becomes problematic for them and they have this internal pressure to succeed, like their life depends on it, I often say this is only 2 years of your possibly 90 years on this planet. It's only 2 years. So let's just remember that.
Sam, like many parents, has an idea of what she wants for her son's future. But that picture looks a little bit different to the future Dave Grohl, her son, has in mind.
I think he already knows that I'm his number one fan. And I really am. I will tell anyone who will listen how awesome he is at drumming. If anyone deserves to have the future that he wants, it's him, because he has put so much into it. And I wish more than anyone that that's what happens for him. I want him to keep that, you know, that drive and passion, because it's exciting. It's, you know, something I've certainly never had. It's lovely to see. I just want a plan B too.
So Claire, Sam, I guess, is worried that the future her son has mapped out isn't going to set him up for the reality of life, you know, like paying bills and finding a home and all of that. So do you understand her concerns?
I sure do. And from a parent point of view, I think every single parent desperately wants the next generation to do better than us, to have better than us and not have so much struggle. But, you know, we also have to just put that beautiful element of trust that this young man, I think most young people are going to find their way. And when we look at our young people through our adult parent lens, it is going to look scary, because we look at the world around us and then we see our son or our daughter fitting into that. But we're seeing them at 17 trying to fit into that.
You know, I think it's really important to remind parents and teens that high school is a time of being with your mates every day, and that some of it at least is meant to be fun.
Year 11 and 12 is something that we're supposed to learn from, grow from and enjoy. So we can step away on that graduation day and have some fond memories of 2 years of our life that have brought us more friendships, more learning, more opportunities, and we walk away feeling quite content with that. So I think that's really important to actually bring some enjoyment to year 11 and 12.
Oh, I love that, Claire, because you know what? I loved my year 11 and 12, and I was wasn't involved in any sport, let me tell you, but I was involved in old school plays and writing for the school magazine. And so I have really great memories, and I had a lot of balance with my study and my schoolwork because my parents were really reasonable in terms of their expectations of me. And that's what I want for my own kids. I want them to enjoy school. And I think part of that comes from the tone that we set at home, isn't it?
Absolutely. Those conversations around turn up, give it a red hot go, do your best, be satisfied with that. Sometimes it can be us reassuring ourselves and believing you've raised a pretty good kid here. He'll come out good. She'll come out good. Just provide the scaffolding, provide the support and have their back.
Getting our child through to year 12 graduation day can feel like the finishing line for raising our children into adulthood. And along the way, there are stumbles, there are grazed knees, and plenty of searching for the motivation to keep going. So how on earth do we get there? Well, in some ways, we want to treat it like a marathon and not a sprint. Don't wait until year 12 or even year 11, if you can, to get your child learning and practicing those high functions like time management, forward planning, and organisation. And we want to help them sit in the driver's seat as we move from managing our kids to more of an advisor role. By year 12, ideally, we'd want our kids being capable of getting themselves up in the morning and being organised with assignments and study. You know, some teens really love school, while others feel the whole experience is pointless. The algebra, the conjugating verbs, the memorising of dates. I get it. What helps is for our teens to learn their why. They may not love algebra, but getting through maths gets them more options at the end of year 12, maybe. And if our child is set on a career or a path we don't agree with, we do need to realise that they're young adults now and they're free to make their own choices. Our job as parents is to provide the snacks, all the snacks, and to catch them if they fall. Thank you to Claire Eaton for sharing some of her excellent tips, and to our mum, Sam, for sharing her story with us. We hope we can come to her son's first show at Wembley. This podcast was recorded on the traditional lands of the Turrbal and Yagara peoples. Parental as Anything Teens is mixed by Anne-Marie de Bettencourt. It's produced by Hannah Riesch and Josie Sargent. The supervising producer is Tamar Cranswick, and Alex Lolbach is the executive producer.
Sam Hawley here. ABC News Daily is a 15-minute podcast that's not just the latest headlines. Each weekday, I take one thing that's big in your world and dig deep so you can truly understand what's going on. It's never too long, didn't listen. It's just 15 minutes of powerful information delivered directly to your ears. ABC News Daily, your daily dose of news knowledge. Hear it now on the ABC Listen app.